3, light cannot be destroyed. It can only be hidden. You can't destroy light, you can only hide it. And that's what the enemy tries to do, is he tries to get you to hide your light. And I want to reference the dream I had October of 2022 with Andrew and myself. And I was on a plane. For those that don't know the dream, I'll share it really quick. I was on a plane looking into Lilydale, and Lilydale was flooded. And there was 10 others on the plane with me and Andrew, so 12 in total. And we landed the plane, and then there was another plane that crashed over kind of Gruyere area in the Natter, that's sort of where it was. And we were like, oh man, we got to get to the plane. And the pilot is rowing this dinghy round the cove, and we're like, are you all right? And he says, yeah, it's all good. I just had to drop off Christian Eriksen into Lilydale. For those that don't know, Christian Eriksen is a soccer player, plays for Manchester United. He actually died on the pitch in the Euros, and they brought him back to life in real life. That really happened. And so I was like intrigued by this, and I was talking to Bev, and Bev's like, hey, I've been thinking about the name Eriksen all week. And I was like, all right, maybe I should look up the name Eriksen. So I looked it up. It means royal son. Eriksen means royal son. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, Liam, I'm bringing Christians, he said, because there's things in this world that are crashing and dying and burning, and it's because of performance Christianity, and I'm taking them from just Christians to royal sons. And I believe, like, so Lilydale was flooded, and there was an incredible dream, but like two months later, I can't even remember the time frame exactly, but I was in the Philippines and Andrew was in America, and we both flew in to Melbourne at the same time, and it was the day Lilydale flooded. If you remember that, Lilydale flooded. And I really believe that, and Dean mentioned it this morning, there's an inhale of the gospel and there's an exhale of the gospel. There's inhale and exhale, and that the inhale is the presence of God. And that's, to me, the water represents the presence of God, that God wants to flood the earth with the water, with his glory, as the waters cover the sea. You guys know that verse? So he wants to cover the world with his glory, as the waters cover the sea. So the presence of God. And then for me, Andrew, that the fact that I was with Andrew represents the evangelistic thrust of the gospel, the go of the gospel. And I want to up the ante a little bit here, because whenever we say the word evangelism, people are like, oh, well, I'm not an evangelist. And it's like, no, it's not about that. We've all been called to go. We've all been called to become love to a world that desperately needs it. Yeah. The moment you got born again, you got drafted into the full contact sport called the gospel. All right? And it's about the goal of the gospel. It's about the inhale, but it's also about the exhale. And here, this phrase is, I've been studying this out for the last month. And so 1 Kings 3, verse 7, and we're going to just go through this really quickly. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David. This is Solomon, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. I do not know how to go out or come in. This phrase has been gripping me for the last month. If you go, and it's this fascinating phrase that Solomon prays. He's like, I've been given the kingship after my father David, but I'm a little kid and I do not know how to come in and I do not know how to go out. What is he talking about? Well, if we go, I'm going to just rattle through some scriptures. Numbers 27, 15. Moses spoke to the Lord saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. John 10:7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Deuteronomy 31:1 says, "So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, 'I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in.'" Are you starting to catch that this isn't a random phrase? This is an important phrase. So what does this phrase mean? If we go another one here, 1 Samuel 18:12, "Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people, and David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in the fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them." Are you catching it? Right? So what is this phrase of going and coming out? Glad you asked. I'll tell you. All right. Joshua 14:11 says, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." So the going out in the Old Testament is for war. Moses says, "I couldn't go out because I was 120 years old. Saul said that he appointed David over 1,000, and when he went out and he brought back, it says the people of Judah and Israel loved him, right? So there's this phrase that the going out and coming in. In the New Testament, we don't go out to war, to battle people. We go out because we've become love. We go out and we love a world that doesn't deserve it because you didn't deserve it. John 3:17, "For God came into the world not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through him." But there's this other phrase of coming in. And it's super important that we, let me put it this way. Christianity, the gospel, is not come in to get so that you can go out. The Christianity is you go in before the Lord because of who he is, and you awake to who he's created you to be, and then you go out. Because if you come in always to get, you will always minister out of lack and what you don't have rather than who he's created you to be. I know that might seem subtle, right? So this phrase of going in is so important, and we need to know what season we're in as a church and as an individual so that we can flow and minister correctly. And I believe there is it is time for people to stop thinking you don't have it, stop thinking you're not good enough. Stop thinking you need to go through Bible college or you need to do all of these things. I'm all for those things. But the reality is, the moment you got born again, you had everything you need for life and godliness dwelling on the inside of your mortal body. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Right, that's just a good day. You wake up on the right side of the bed or the left side of the bed. You can't wake up on the wrong side of the bed because you have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. Right, so you wake up every morning and you're like, hey, thank you, God, that I am enough. Thank you, God, that you are enough for me and my life and everything that I need. I have within me because I don't longer live by the flesh, but I live by the Spirit. Right, and I have Him inside me, and you begin, you're in this place of the incoming with the Lord, and you're ministering with Him and in Him and around Him, and then you go out of that place. Are you with me? Right? So important, because look at this, 2 Samuel 11 verse 1, it says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Do you guys know the next verse? David saw Bathsheba. Why? David was not in the battle he was born for, and he ended up with temptations he should have never had. Listen to this, Luke 14, 15. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say, those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Anyone else thought that's a strange excuse? Like if I invited Dean over for a banquet and he went, I bought some land. I need to go make sure it's still green. I need to go mow the lawns. I'd be like, man, I'm giving you a free feed. Please have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. All right, come over to my house for a banquet. I've got some cows and I need to make sure they are still cows. I don't know what their excuse was. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, we could probably understand that one. So the servant said, so the servant came, I love you all, and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets, lanes, city, and bring in the poor, the crippled, blind, and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you command has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste my banquet. It's intense. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for the light has come. It doesn't say, arise and work intensely hard at getting the light and then shine it. It doesn't say, arise, and once you reach a certain level of maturity, then you'll shine the light. It says, arise and shine because of what He's already done, because the light has come. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then He said to His disciples, you are the light of the world. Do not hide your light under a basket. Do not put it under the bed. Let it be seen by all men. You are a city set on a hill, one that will not be hidden. In the New Testament, we come to a place of worship, and this is what I believe prophetically the Lord is doing with us. That we would come simply because it's who He is. That we come in to the sanctuary, to the church, to our prayer times, that there'd be this corporate family, this corporate anointing, so to speak, that we would come simply to minister unto the Lord for no agenda, then it's simply because it's who he is. We all have our friends that ring us up for, hey Liam, can I borrow the whippersnipper? Hey Liam, can I borrow the chainsaw? Hey Liam, can I borrow... And those things are good. You have not because you ask not. But there's a higher place, like there's a higher place and a realm to go in with the Lord that is to minister unto him, to lift up the name of Jesus and let him be the one that draws all men to the banquet. To lift up his name, to worship the King of Glory, to exalt the name of Jesus with no agenda other than I just want to be with you, Lord. That is the coming in. That is the coming in of we minister. And what begins to happen is we're not coming in to try and somehow fill up our tank with the Lord. I'm all for that, but we're not coming in. We're just beholding the one who is worthy to behold. And what happens in those moments, I believe, is things start to fall off of us. Things start to just drift away. And we don't get moved by the circumstances in the world. Why? Because we've just been with him. I'm telling you right now, if you try to minister out of this place of coming in before the Lord of Lord, I just need this. I just need this. Lord, I just need this. Lord, would you just... It's like... And he's going, oh, son, I know. I know what you need. Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in all circumstances, give thanks. And rejoice always. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, I want to shift your paradigm that you come into the Lord and you're like, oh God, I just thank you. You're so worthy, Lord. I just want to worship you. I want to give you thanks. I want to give you praise. Lord, I give you adoration. You are worthy of everything that I have. Everything that I have is yours. My wife, my kids, my finances, everything that I have, God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I exalt you and I lift you up high, right? And then I go out into the world to compel people to come in. I'm not trying to go out in the world and go, well, should I witness to that person? Should I feel led? Do I remember, just put some sinkers in your pocket and feel led, or a grey led if you need to feel led, all right? Just have that ready to go, right? But what are you doing? You're ministering with the Lord. You're not ministering out of lack. Because we're so focused and fixated on we navel gaze and we look inward and we're like, well, you know, I sinned a couple of weeks ago and so I probably can't pray for that person, or I yelled at my kids this morning and I'm just no good and I just can't go out and witness to the people and I just can't tell people about Jesus and I've got this thing going on and I've got this thing going on and I've got this thing going on. And just let them know I'm be done in about 3 minutes, all right? So, I'm just kidding. Right, what begins to happen is you start to minister out of lack, or you start to focus, it's still you. Yeah. It's still self. And we enter into a subtle form of pride. And I'm going to use this analogy, apparently it's Andrew's analogy, but CJ used it at our ministry school last week, and I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And what we do, who's heard, let's preach out of the overflow, right? And you preach out of being full with the Lord. You reckon that's full? That's a good pour. That's a good pour. All right? I'm a Christian barman. No, no. The new wine, that's a terrible joke. All right, so that we've been taught, we minister out of the overflow. Who's ever been taught that before? Right? You minister out of the overflow. Turn with me to Colossians 2. Go to Colossians 2 and then we're done. Go to Colossians 2. It says this, there, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive him? How did you receive Jesus? Was it your giving to the poor? Was it helping the old lady across the street? Was it being a good person? No, it was by faith through grace. Ephesians 2:8. It was the goodness and the kindness of God. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to have earned your salvation. It's a free gift of righteousness. It's the free gift of grace. I've got this meme, a little snippet on my computer, things that Jesus never said. They're pretty funny. It's like grace is free, but you better work it out. You know, you better work for it. I'm going to give you free grace, but you better work for it. Right? Sometimes that's how we think though. So therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How do you walk in Christ Jesus? By grace, through faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in who? In Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Wow, that's just epic. So that means the whole Trinity dwelt in the body of Jesus. And you have been filled in him. Who is the head of all rule and all authority? All right. So you have been filled in him. So you don't minister out of the overflow, you minister in him. You minister. So the coming in is, oh Lord, I get to minister with you. I get to be with you because you're my husband. You're the head. You've given me all authority. You have made me the light of the world. Like, that's incredible. I have this light that I get to arise and shine. I don't hide it. I don't quench it. I don't hide it under a basket. I let it shine before all men. And then the go out of the gospel is to compel people to come in to partake of the banquet that you get to partake of. That 2 Peter 1 says you are a partaker of the divine nature now. You get to partake of the bread and the blood. And I believe prophetically this is what the Lord's doing in our midst right now. Is that he's changing the landscape of Christianity. He's changing the landscape of the church. That the church would be an army of sons and daughters, not an army of warriors. Not just warriors. That we need warriors. We need fighters. But the way you fight in the kingdom is you worship him. You lift his name up. You exalt him. You meet him face to face and then you begin to look like him. You behold him, the bread and the body and the blood, the bread and the wine. You behold him and little by little, the things that bothered you in this world start to become insignificant. Paul says in Philippians, he says, I count them all but rubbish and the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. And then you're shipwrecked and you're in prison and you're like, hallelujah, come on, this is a good day. Someone had a go at me and you're like, woohoo, yes, who cares? Who's against me? Because I've got the one who is for me living on the inside of me. And I'm ministering not out of the overflow because then I'll need to come back in. And I'm ministering out of him because I never, ever, 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 ever lack. He never runs dry. He's got living water. He's got living food. All right, why don't you stand? I really do believe, I think I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. I do believe it's time for people to stop waiting and start to go. It's time for the light to be exposed again in your world. Light cannot be destroyed. It can only be hidden. There's a lot of new people in here, but just grab your fist of right now and put darkness in it. Close it up and it's got darkness in there. All right, just release the darkness into a lit up room. Look how much effect that had on the room. None. The Bible says that we do not be ignorant of the devil's schemes, but I'm not dictated to be moved by them. Jesus came into the world to destroy darkness, but how did he do it? Through the greatest act of love. He destroyed, when I love what Bill Johnson says, he says, I look at the devil long enough to pull the trigger, but I'm not impressed by him. We have to be moved by him. We have to be moved by his voice. Jesus didn't be moved by the devil's voice. He was moved by the Father's voice. And I believe that there's a prophetic call for us as a church, as a house, to go into a deeper revelation and deeper intimacy with the Lord. We want to create a house of prayer because the Lord has told us to do that, that this place would be a house of prayer. That doesn't just mean a house of praying to God. It's a house of communion with the Lord. It's a house of fellowship. It's a house of worship. It's a house of praise. It's a house of prayer. Oh, I feel the Lord on that so strongly. He's so jealous for that. He's jealous. This is eternal life, that you would know the Lord. That's John 17:3. This is eternal life, that we would know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. There's too many Christians walking around as just Christians by label, and they're not. They don't know that they're a son or a daughter. They don't know that the Father loves them. We're trying to intellectualize this thing. Oh, what does this mean, or what is that? No. It's just become intimate with the One. If some fishermen and some zealots and some tax collectors, if they can get it, we can get this. Come on. And then the go, I know I've gone a little bit over, but I really feel to say this. People often, they're like, Liam, how did you fall into ministry? How did you plant this church? And there are moments when God's like, but we're just following the cloud. We're just following his voice. And some of you have little breadcrumbs in front of you that the Lord has asked you to do. And when you step out, you go out with him, he backs you up because you're his kid. But you won't walk on water unless you step out of the boat. So there needs to be the going. And then the supernatural comes. In your act of obedience, he backs you up. All right, let's take communion together. And this is what I want you to do. And then I'm going to invite the prayer team up. And if you guys want to come up for any prayer at all, any prayer needs, or just you want someone to pray with you and stand with you, they'd love, their hands are ready and loaded and ready to just lay hands on you and pray for you. I want you to recenter your heart and just take communion and be with the Lord just for a couple of minutes, because it's who he is. Not for any other reason than just to be one with him. So let's partake. Lord, I thank you that it's love. that compelled you to go to the cross. I tell you, I pray that it's love. That made you stay there. It's your love. It's why you came. Because this thing called sin was plaguing the world. And you needed to deal with it. So that you could get your kids back. And I pray that there would be a going in. People this week of an intimacy with you like never before. I pray that there would be a deeper intimacy this week, and then there'd be a going out, that we would, in the New Testament, that we would violently take the kingdom of God by force through love, that we'd be compelled by love, that we'd minister not out of the overflow, but out of being one with you. In Jesus' name, amen.